Blog Talk Radio.
Commissioner T back at the helm, hosting the Madden Voice tonight. You know, we've been rotating hosts. We've had Dr. Train. We've had K-Star. And October was a very, very busy month for me. So, you know, I appreciate my fellow Madden hosts, you know, stepping up and taking the reins. And they did a fabulous job. They really did, both these guys, I got to tell you. It was a pleasure to actually, you know, be on the show, but not be on the show, if you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I had a little technical difficulties, and I want to make sure that I'm not talking to myself. So what we're going to do here is bring on the guy who EAFL Super Bowl I winner, and the guy with his PhD, the guy with the philosophy, and a guy with some probably pretty happy today. And let's bring on Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T?
Yeah, that's happening in my voice.
Yeah, God, that's pretty happy today. You know, and while we're at it, we will bring on the other host. Missed the show last week, so he's back. You know, and I suspect that we will hear a much different tone from our resident Pittsburgh Steeler expert, but he is one of the best Madden players in the world and goes by Ali Quick on Twitter. Check him out. And we have with us tonight, you know, we've got a full house again. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
It feels so good to be back. What's up, fellas?
Well,
what's up, K-Star?
We'll see how good you feel in a little while. That's all I'm saying. We'll see how good. Let me
enjoy your presence for now. Let me be happy. Let me feel the warmth first of you guys, as I missed last week's show. Let's not right away jump into the future pain that I'll have to relive already. Let's just, you know.
Yeah. Not only did you miss last week's show, and you were missed last week, but you missed another chance to, you know, talk about my Cowboys. Probably, in my opinion, the most disappointing loss of the year. You know, you missed an opportunity to say whatever you wanted to say about the Cowboys because now they've done come back and actually had a pretty good win. So last week was last week, and this week is this week. But, you know, I want to start off the show with the topic of the week, if you will, the topic of the last couple of days. And as time goes on, we are getting more information, and we will get more information, I'm sure. I'm sure this isn't the end of this story. But I'm talking about the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, Miami Dolphin, hazing, or whatever we are calling it, story. And, you know, I wanted to first hear from both my co-hosts before I chimed in. But, you know, I'm going to start with Dr. Train on this one. I consider you to be very thoughtful on these topics. And, you know, what is your take? I mean, just in general on the whole I just to set the stage and shit. If you haven't, if you follow football, you know what's going on. Unless you've been living in a rock. Jonathan Martin left the Dolphins, and something to do with hazing and bullying, and no one really had the story, the full story. And then we found out Richie Incognito apparently was the guy guilty of these accusations, and he was denying it, and now we have transcripts that are pretty clear, you know, what was going on. So that said, Train, what's your take on all this?
Well, in a situation like this, you always want, you know, as much information as you can. You want as much of the truth to be brought to light as possible. You know, because when I first heard this guy talk about having a nervous breakdown, I'm like, who has a nervous breakdown during the middle of the football season? What's going on? And when it finally, you know, hit the fan of what was said, especially when the whole voicemail came to light, I was just like, wow. You know, that's a little different than what I've heard as far as the normal hazing and rite of passage that I've heard, you know, that you heard veterans talk about in locker rooms. So the other thing, I decided to listen to the real vets, you know, listening to Chris Carter and Keyshawn Johnson and all of them, and get their take on it, you know, and according to them, this type of thing is not what they would consider hazing or rite of passage or whatever in the locker room. This is goes far beyond that, especially when you have a message that has a threatening end to it. So, you know, from that point of view, it's to me, if someone else knows about this other than them two, if this is happening out, you know, if someone else in the locker room doesn't know and it's only happening between them two and everyone else is just oblivious, then, I mean, I kind of find that hard to believe. To me, it's almost like it's a failure of leadership. It's a failure of something in that locker room for this to happen, and no one has seen it. No one has paid attention to it because, you know, you got players for the Miami Dolphins who's painting this picture as Incognito is just this great guy. Would you have clearly have this voicemail that says otherwise, you know? And I mean, he's badging this young player, you know, without no one knowing. At least that's what they make it to seem. And if Jonathan Martin couldn't go to anyone on the team, I mean, to me that's bad in itself. When you don't have anyone in the organization you can go to try to resolve such an issue before it comes, you know, before it actually hits the public.
Okay. K-Star, your thoughts?
You know, when you hear about that, and especially Train, when you phrase it quite like that, in that maybe, like, he really, no one else knew kind of what was going on, and that, you know, Incognito was painting a different picture to his teammates than, again, what they were led to believe before the transcripts were out. To me, it's to the point where that can be considered as evil. I mean, this poor guy is being tormented. Like, don't get me wrong, hazing is something that happens not just in football and college fraternities and stuff like that, but I'm really interested in hearing other rookies or other players who have played with Incognito share their hazing experiences with him. We have the transcript, which is pretty brutal. Let's be clear about that. But was it a situation in which he just targeted this one particular guy throughout his career? Like, was it just like an isolated, horrible incident? And if so, why did this happen? Not that, of course, the victim had any, you know, reason to elicit that or, like, any, you know, blame to be placed on him or whatever. But it's just, I don't know. To me, we kind of have to hear more. But from what we're hearing, it doesn't sound good. It sounds pretty bad. And Incognito, he's going to have a tough home. Or a tough place to find a home, because I don't know what NFL team would want to bring him on, even though he's a talented guard at this point in the season, just because of the controversy that's swirling. And bullying is a pretty hot topic. It has been the past couple of years. There's been more you know, attention that's been brought to that subject in general. So, again, we have to see more, but it doesn't sound good, and it's very sad, and I feel terrible for the victim in this case, Richie.
And the other thing I wanted to add to you, like, I just saw what Ricky Williams had to say about it. And, you know, he took the approach that, you know, basically if you can't handle it, then maybe you don't belong in the locker room. And, you know, I'm listening to other former players, and they're saying something totally different. I mean, we all know Ricky Williams' history anyway, but it's just...
teammates?
Hmm?
Were Ricky and Incognito ever teammates, I wonder?
Yeah, they were. He said they were.
Maybe that has something to do with maybe the culture in which he experienced much different than all the other players or something. Okay. I don't know.
But my thing is, you know, whatever he experienced, you know, you can't tell a person they don't belong just because they don't receive, just because they handle it a different way than what you handle it. You know, if that's not what he's used to, if that's not the treatment he's used to receiving, then he's not going to receive it like another person, you know, or like Ricky Williams received it or whatever.
Well, I understand what Ricky Williams is trying to say, but it doesn't seem appropriate to what went on here. If there's
right.
a culture, there is an environment that you have to adapt to as an NFL player, and this is one of the few times that, you know, I will watch the coverage of this because this is something that, I mean, we've all at some point played on sports teams and been a part of locker room, but not professional football locker room. So this in general would be out of our normal knowledge base. But let me say this. Richie Incognito is 6'3", 312 pounds. Jonathan Martin is 6'5", 319 pounds. Okay? There's more to this story that will come out, because with the things that this guy said, let's be clear that Richie Incognito is a white man and Jonathan Martin is a black man. And I don't know too many times that kind of stuff can be said and there aren't ramifications and repercussions. So for Jonathan Martin not to go and grab Incognito by his neck and hang him over a pit of alligators means that Jonathan Martin was fearful. And means there's more to this. This is deeper than hazing. This is deeper than bullying. And I think Incognito had support and had help. And Martin knew this wasn't going to be just him. And the fact that Incognito would leave a voicemail that says, "I'll kill you," knowing that currently on trial for murder is Aaron Hernandez, on trial for murdering a semi-pro football player. And also investigations are that there could be multiple murders done, and we don't know. You know, and I'm not sitting here and, you know, this is not about Hernandez. The point is that that's not even funny to even joke about. And the other stuff,
right?
The racial, that it's just inappropriate on any level. And for the fact that Jonathan Martin left the team and didn't think that he could go to a Cameron Wake or one of those team leaders and get support. The fact that he couldn't go to Coach Philbin or someone in the front office, the fact that he didn't think he could go get support, I think that's the story here. Incognito is an asshole, and I know this is a family show, but he's an asshole, and he will never work in the NFL again. I can assure you of that. That's not going to happen. He's all done. Okay, he's all done. But the bigger story is, there's a difference between buy us dinner, go get us donuts, where's my coffee, we're gonna tape you to the goalpost, and the things that we've heard about from some of the NFL players that talk about what happens when you're a rookie. Okay.
More sophomore.
You know, what's that?
Yeah, I was saying more sophomore tactics, not
something that you would find in a frat house.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that stuff. If that's the culture of being in the NFL, and if that's what everyone has to go through. I mean, Bill Parcells, I remember when he coached the Cowboys, and the rookie high draft picks, they wouldn't have a star on their helmet. They had to earn the star. And he had them running around getting him coffee and doing little things. He's like, you're not on this team yet. You got to earn your spot in this team. Okay? So I don't have a problem with basic, you know, fun, poking ribbon, and even if you wanted to call it low-level hazing that didn't hurt anybody or didn't, you know, offend anybody. I'm okay with that. But this, what this dude did is reprehensible, number one. And number two, there are people on that team. I heard Ray Lewis. I heard Keyshawn. I heard all of these guys say, what happened in my locker room? So why
exactly.
Did it happen?
I mean, and that's what I keyed in on most of when I was listening through this whole story. I wanted to hear from the real former players that were leaders in the locker room, the former players that looked out for other players, that would talk about true brotherhood. When I listened to Cameron Wake and the comments made by Mike Wallace, I was like, dude, really? I mean, have y'all not seen the transcript, or y'all just making the comments with just knowing what you know about the player and not knowing the information that's out there? When you hear what Ray Lewis and everyone else said, it's like, no, this is a negative. This is not what happens. This is not what goes on in the locker room. This is not how you treat other players who you consider teammates.
Yeah, I have a feeling that.
The players that play with the Dolphins. Go ahead, T.
No, I was just going to say I have a feeling that these guys are going to end up retracting or updating their position because I'm wondering if they knew it was to this level. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that they did or didn't. So I'm not going to sit here and assume that they knew it was to the level that we are now finding out. And their quotes, their comments that seemed very like, what's the big deal? And Incognito's a decent guy. And was when Incognito was responding, what's the big deal himself? Notice once the transcript of the voicemail came out, we haven't heard boo from Incognito. It's like,
exactly.
The gig is up, you know. And how much confidence can you have to leave that kind of voicemail on somebody's phone? Like, you must just have known you wasn't going to get in trouble. So I'm
no,
still
no,
going
no.
back.
That or you're crazy. Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, if anything, the fact that this guy he was so furious that he wasn't thinking about what he's doing, or he just doesn't think about those things because the guy is crazy. I mean, look, there's something clearly wrong going on. And real quick, the teammates and stuff that are defending him, look, what they have probably been led to believe is much different than what, you know, everyone else has been, the information that's made available to everyone else. So they're probably reading it, finding this out, being a bit surprised. I mean, not everything's what it seems. And you have a guy Incognito and these guys, you know, probably close to him as teammates, he probably is a good guy to them. You know, but that's what he wants them to see. Not everyone knows. I mean, you know, if you have a family member that committed murder and you're in denial about it because you knew him to be this person that he really ended up not being, I mean, it's kind of the same thing where you're almost too close to the situation to really have, you know, a good perspective on it because, again, maybe the guy had YouTubes. It's really that simple. Like, in my opinion, it's just, I don't know, to me, there's some serious psychological things going on with Incognito because, again, it's not smart, it's stupid. Clearly, there's way more to the story than what even we've heard so far. And
I don't think anything psychologically wrong with him other than he's a racist.
He said he's an asshole because the one thing that I did catch before this whole transcript came out with the voicemail is that he actually tweeted Martin after he left the team. Incognito sent him a tweet, you know, and it was one of those, man, you know, one of those kind of, you know, checking on you, hope you return, such type sweet as if they were buddy-buddy. And, you know, and Martin just responded in a manner to say, you know, everything's all good. I believe he knew something was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he knew something was about to hit the fan with this man leaving the team. And he was going to be in the midst of it because it was his fault.
Yeah.
Because he had something to do with it.
Right.
So he was trying to cover his ass, so to speak.
I will caution everybody to stay tuned. I will, you know, as Saint said last week about my prediction on the Colts beating the Broncos, I'm telling you there's more that's going to come out. This is a bigger story. It's a deeper story, and more is going to come out, and we're going to find out that you know, when the truth hits, there's going to be people in that organization that are culpable, that didn't handle properly, didn't have the right policies and procedures in place to deal with this kind of stuff, because there's no reason. And as Herm Edwards, who I have a lot of respect for, said, make no mistake about it, this is not a football issue. This is a workplace environment issue. It just happens to be that they're playing football, but this can be anybody, anywhere, you know, that is starting. job or new at somewhere and gets treated a certain way. So it's
the one other thing I do have to say, you know, considering what happened with the Saints, you know, a couple of seasons ago, I mean, any organization, if they knew anything about this, I mean, really, you got to be way more careful than that considering what happened to the Saints. This dude, Roger
right.
Goodell, has no problem handing out suspensions.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem, you know, reprimanding always anywhere from the coach to the GM to the vice president. He has no problem doing that. So we find out that anyone – anyone in a managerial position, coach, GM, that anyone knew anything about this? Man, the Dolphins already ain't a good team as it is.
They won't have to because the owner will step in and do something first. They won't even get to Goodell's hand to do anything to the front office. The owner will step in and jobs will be had. It's not like the Dolphins are doing. You know, they started off 3-0 and pretty much. Have not done well since. Just stay tuned, guys. Just stay tuned. I think the next time we're on the air, the story is going to have a completely different light to it. Let's move on. We know this has been beat up on TV all day, so we're going to move on. This one, I think, is a very interesting topic. Before we get into, I think all of our teams we're going to be talking about. So it's a lot of interesting things going on. But before we get into that, Train posed a question that I think is a really good question. As I've said many times, Bill Parcells, to me, for my money, greatest coach ever in NFL, my money. But that's just my opinion. Said you are what your record is. The Chiefs are 9-0. They're the only undefeated team. And Train asked the question, are they the best team in the league? And K-Star, what do you think?
No. Only because, yes, you are what your record says you are, but, you know, here's the thing. We haven't seen them to this point play a team, with a winning record. So they are absolutely, to this point, the best.
That's not
in the
a
league.
True statement you just Is that a true statement you just made?
Actually, it
sure?
is. They have not played one winning team all season. That is actually correct.
Okay.
Anyway, so I feel like it's an incomplete statement because there's still more we got to see. We have to see how they fare against Denver. We have to, because let's be honest, Denver and Kansas City are being touted as the two best. Denver by play on the field, but also by, personnel, as we've seen with Peyton. And with Kansas City, it's more of a cautious, let's wait and see. We know they're 9-0, but who are they really type of thing? And to me, the Kansas City Chiefs are a very, very, very good football team. They're absolutely a top five team, and I think we'll be, after the season's over, after it's all said and done, I think they'll still be in our top five. I don't think they're going anywhere. So I do think they're legitimate. I don't think they're the best team, only because, again, with them not playing a team with a winning record, it's kind of incomplete. Now, is that their fault? No, they played everyone's on the schedule. That's not on them. So that's not really a detriment to them. But, again, to me it's more an incomplete. We'll have to see it play out. I'm really curious to see what they do against Denver. But 9-0 is 9-0. This is, you can't really take that from them.
Bye.
Train, it was your question. What do you think?
First of all, your statement is incorrect. They played the Cowboys. Cowboys do have a winning record.
Secondly, it'd be the Vikings. It'll be for the weekend then.
It's okay. I'm here to help you. Secondly,
they're
playing the same people. I stated this last week. You know that since you know that you weren't here. I hope you enjoyed the game too, man. Was that a good experience? Because I plan on catching the Bulls when they come out here. But in either case, they play the same team as the Broncos.
I hope that wasn't facetious because it actually was a great time. Thanks for asking. Go ahead.
They play the same teams that the Broncos play, man. They have the same schedule with the exception of two teams. That means they play the teams in the divisions that finish in the same places as they do. So with the exception of two teams from the Broncos, they play the same teams. Now, they haven't played the tougher teams in their schedule as much as the Broncos have. The Broncos have seen the Colts. They've seen the Ravens, but they, I think the Ravens is an exception because other than the Ravens and the Patriots, those are only the two teams that the Chiefs don't play. To say that they are not the best team in the league simply because they don't put up as many points as other teams, to me, is a bit asinine. They win, and they find a way to win. And it's not easy to just run out there and win every week when you're continually undefeated, because the next team wants to beat you more and more and more the more you stay undefeated. And they find ways to win. The Broncos didn't remain undefeated. They lost. I mean, the Seahawks didn't remain undefeated. They lost one. So it's not easy to continue, but still the Broncos and Seahawks, even with their own records of only one loss, they're finding ways to continuously win. To not call them the best team to me is just people got their head stuck in the cloud on offense. If you're not putting up 40 plus points and blowing teams out, then you can't be the best team in the league. They have their formula for winning, and it is working. And people need to look out when they hit the playoffs. The Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium, is not an easy place to play. They have a very strong home crowd.
Well, let me say this. You know, they're 9-0. They're undefeated. They don't blow people out. They don't lose thus far. They are victimized by the fact that they're in the same division with Peyton Manning and the Broncos, who have decimated people. And people, you're right, Train, they want to see style points. They want this team. You know, to me, the question is, are they the best team in the NFL? Yes. So someone beats them? Yes. Are they most dominant? No. Because they do not have an offense that's going to blow you away. They're going to win by 4 points. They're going to win by, you know, a touchdown. I mean, the Sunday's games, there were 12 games on Sunday. 8 of them were decided by 7 points or less. That's today's NFL. And, yes, we have a Broncos team that can throw 40 points at you and beat you by 20. We've got a Saints team, although they lost, that can do the same thing. We've got a Patriots team that's certainly coming into form, and K-Star will talk about that shortly, that can do that too. You know, there are teams that can do that, but at the same time, does that make them better, or does that make them just having more dominant wins? And I think we have to, you know, I'm the first one that has said Kansas City would be a player, and I'm also the one that's also said I'm not impressed. And I'm not impressed because they haven't played the prime of the schedule yet. But that said, they don't have to impress me. All they got to do is win games. And that's what they've been doing. And that's what Alex Smith has been doing. He's been winning games. So at 9-0, it is time. At 9-0, it is time to give this team their due, their just desserts, give them the credit that they deserve. And I think people should stop, you know, putting asterisks next to it, or, you know, NFL.com putting the Broncos ahead of them because of the quality of wins. And, you know, it's ridiculous. This team has played their schedule that they were given, and they won every game. And I think we have to come to the understanding that right now, I mean, hey, in 2 months they could finish at 9-7, and they'll be the laughingstock in the NFL. But right now, their formula, as Train said, of winning is, you know, ball control, control on offense, and incredible defense, and that's their formula for winning. They don't have Peyton Manning and all the weapons on offense that Denver has, or they don't have Tom Brady. They don't have Aaron Rodgers. You need to do the Packers now. They don't have the weapons that a Dallas Cowboy team has, but look what they did. Beat us by a point, right? So, you know, I have to give credit where credit is due. I have to give them their respect. 9-0. Best team in the NFL until they lose. And that's why on the power rankings I have them as the number one team, because they haven't lost yet, period. And I can assure you, K-Star, if your Steelers had the same record and was 9-0, on no uncertain terms would you not be dancing around saying they're the best team in the league. Of course they're the best team. They're 9-0. I don't care who they play. They beat everybody. They beat everybody in front of them. They're 9-0 everybody. I guarantee you, you would be saying that. So I think you got to give these Chiefs some love and come around to the realization that right now they are the best team until somebody beats them. And I believe that's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
See, what people don't want to accept is the fact it's unexpected. I told you to expect the unexpected. It's unexpected, so people don't want to accept it. No, it can't be. It can't be the Chiefs. They were just 2-14. Who cares? They're 9-0 right now. They don't have one of the four horsemen at quarterback. They have a guy who just manages to win games. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He gets the ball to the people he needs to in order for him to make a play, and he makes some plays himself. Their formula is different. They're not going to put up 40. Instead, they're going to put up 20, and you're going to score less than 17.
First of all,
you're going to lose because you're going to get frustrated. You can't move the ball.
I've been giving the Chiefs love. I don't know what you guys are talking about. First of all, I didn't bring anything up about the points. I didn't bring anything up about the offense. I didn't bring anything up about the defense. Obviously, they win by defense and ball control. I don't really care that the Broncos score a lot of points. The thing, you know, to me, is that with the Chiefs, it's just more incomplete. Like, right now, they're 9-0. The season ended, they beat their number one seed. The only problem is they'll have to play and get through five other teams in that conference who have winning records, so the level of competition is going to, like, come up a bit, is what I'm saying. So, yes, 9-0 is actually correct. They are the best at the end of today. I'm very impressed. And, by the way, I do take them seriously, legitimately. The AFC, I think they can absolutely come out of the AFC because they do play a very different brand of football, an old-school brand of football, and a very tough stadium. They're very good, but again, we just kind of need to see, I would like to see, I'm very interested in the game against Denver because I want to see them go up against the team, for one, that has a winning record, but for two, that's in, 7-1, 8-1, like the Denver Broncos are. Like, I'm just curious to see how it plays out. I got to wait and see because, again,
The question is, do you think they're the best team in the NFL? That's it. That's the question. And you said no in the beginning. I don't know what all this is now, but you said no.
Because they said no.
And you said because they haven't played anybody with a winning record. And all we're saying is that's not their fault. They're playing.
It's not their fault. I'm not blaming them.
They're beating everybody on their schedule. So what more could they do for you to then say this is the best team in the NFL? What more could they do?
They need to do more. They need, again, to play a winning team. They can't physically do anything. But I'll tell you this, what they need to do.
Wait.
No. Hold on. What they need to do, and I don't know if you guys watched this game at all, but the Bills ran all over them. They ran through.
Okay.
Jeff Toole was terrible. That pick six was god-awful. Let's be clear here. The Bills – had that game won. When they play a team that's competent at quarterback, they can run the football. Yes, the Chiefs won. Great.
Okay, so my
thing
question
is, at the end of the day, they're going to play other good teams.
You don't get to ignore my question, okay? You don't get to ignore my question. It's a very simple question. Since they are not the best team in the NFL right now at 9-0, what would they have needed to do at 9-0 to be considered the best team in your mind? What is it they haven't done that you want to see right now that they could have done in the previous 9 weeks to be the best team in the NFL?
Well, for one, when the Chiefs do play teams in which have poor defenses, it's not like the offense ever excels. And even so, when they play, again, offense, they didn't play very good offenses either. Don't get me wrong. The Chiefs' defense is legitimate. It's very, very good. But even when they do play less than stellar offenses, I mean, they're in every single game because they can't really stop the run. I'm just saying that is something that's going to come back and haunt them. And when they play a team that which they're, when they get behind, which they will, by the way, because I haven't seen one. We just haven't seen it yet.
You're doing the K-Star. I'm not talking about the future. I'm not asking you to look into your crystal ball. It's really
– all right. Well,
they said they're not the best team. So what could they have done in the previous 9 weeks to be at this point for you to say, yes, the Chiefs at 9-0 are the best team in the NFL?
Again, take people away, take these left opponents away, finish them, not give them every single game they have to have a chance to lose. They won these games.
what
yeah,
you
it's
want.
What you want, though.
It's
what
you want. Why, point. And to me, that doesn't matter. It's the same as they it's the same as them ranking offenses and defenses based on yards than points. Yeah, they got the number one offense in the league because they can move the ball up and down the field. But if you can't score one damn point, if you can't come up with 1 point more than your opponent at the end of the game, guess what, K-Star? You lose. Period. You can't win off style points. You must have more points on the scoreboard than the other team. That's what the Chiefs have done. Who gives a damn how they've done it? That's what they've done. And you can't sit up here and tell neither me or T that if the freaking Pittsburgh Steelers would have had a 9-0 record, every single game, a one score, that they would not be the best team in the league. Are you serious?
Stop it. Because, I don't want to, first of all, don't bring the Steelers in any of this. Just like I wouldn't bring the Cowboys or Bears into it. Because everyone is biased because they're a team. So, of course, that would be a little different.
My team would be the best team in the league if they were 9-0 right now. I'm telling you that straight up.
And I just said the same thing, of course, because we are biased or fans. So, listen.
The only thing I'm saying
is I see some cheeks in the armor. Yes, they're 9-0 right now. But, again, it's the end of the day.
Everybody
really
has Chiefs in their armor. It's the same reason why I called the Colts to beat the Broncos after we saw what the Jaguars were able to do. And then we saw the game next week. And we was like, hey, the Colts definitely have a legitimate chance. And they turned around and they beat the Broncos. Every single team in this league has Chiefs in their armor. It's all about you find a way to break through. If you can't, if you don't have what it takes to break through it, then it doesn't matter. If you can't exploit the weakness, you will eventually lose the game.
Trey, let me try this. Okay,
oh my God.
Do you think the Jets are a better team than the Saints?
No.
Okay, but they won. So in your world, they won.
Hold on, wait. You can't. Oh my God. See, that's what's wrong with it. They don't play just one team. They play a field of teams.
I understand. My point is quite simple, is you want to project, and every time we talk power rankings or every time we talk, who's better than who, you have an inability to stay in the present and deal with today. You want to talk about what's going to happen.
You guys want
to
sit on your boring record and we know what they're
going to do. Can I finish what I'm saying? You want to look ahead and talk about what might happen. We don't have crystal balls. My point is, we would all agree that the Saints are a better team than the Jets if the Jets won. So you can't look ahead and predict what might happen based on your thoughts that the Broncos might do this or this. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're talking today. Today at 9-0, you said they're not the best team. I've been asked you, what would they have needed to do to be considered the best team? You then brought in style points after previously saying, I don't care about style points. My point is you have to recognize that at 9-0 and the only 9-0 and undefeated team for now a couple of weeks, we have to give them their credit that as of today, they're the best team as of today. Now, will that last? I don't think it'll last, but that's not the question. Will they beat the Broncos this game? I don't think they will, but that's not the question. The question is today. And if you walk away with anything other than, yes, they're the best team, then I have to question your integrity. Because we know any other team, if the Steelers were not so like this.
Oh, here we go.
It's the truth.
Hey, listen, you're probably the best team.
Uh-oh, did we lose them?
I don't know. Get a star. Let's see.
See? Even the airwaves know you wasn't saying stuff right.
Well, he's still showing called in. I don't know what happened.
Okay, so you didn't mute yourself, did you?
Hello?
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So I guess the thing is, when I look at it a little differently. Yeah, so if you ask the question, who is the best team in the NFL, there's really no analysis needed. We just look at the standings, right? But the way I look at it is, if the playoffs were to start today, would you, without a shadow of a doubt, put your money, or would you assume that the Chiefs are just going to win the playoffs because you feel like they'd mash up bets against the field? Like, it's how do you answer that question?
But,
because, again,
but, But again, this is where I think your football being an analyst comes into question, because I didn't ask you would they win the Super Bowl. I didn't ask you are they going to beat everybody. The question is right now. That's it. Now you want to add to the question, well, what if the playoffs started today? That's a different question. I didn't ask what if the playoffs started today. What are the Chiefs' record chances of winning the Super Bowl? I think
if they're the best team, if they're the best team, then they're better than all the 31 other teams. So really, what are we talking about?
The Patriots 16-0.
I was just saying the same thing. 18-0 Patriots.
Yeah, they went 16-0, and clearly they ended up not being the best team in the NFL at the end of the season.
Well,
you're making my point. You still have to play everyone.
At the time that they were 16-0,
right,
they were the best team.
They were considered the best team. They went into the Super Bowl, picked to win the Super Bowl.
And they lost.
And they lost. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. But the Patriots were still considered the best team, even though they went in and lost. And
yes,
even after the Super Bowl, many people said, well, we still think they're the best team. We still think that if they play five times, the Patriots will win four. This was just that one time. So the Giants took them back to the Super Bowl and beat them again. And now you can't say anything. And now it's like, okay, forget it. Shut up. So the point is, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring itself. We don't know. It's all conjecture. We don't look at the Packers now with Aaron Rodgers out. We don't know what's going to happen in the NFL. But we know today that if you look at this NFL and say that the Chiefs aren't the best, it's because you're biased against them, or because you want to see more style points, or because you're a diehard Broncos fan and you want the Broncos or the Seahawks to be considered the best team. No. They're not undefeated. This team is. And that's all we're saying is give them credit where credit is due. Right now, undefeated, hey, no one's figured out a way to beat them yet. Even the Broncos, who we talked about could run, go 16-0, although I never thought they would. I told you three games I thought they would lose, and they already lost one of them. So, but that was a lot. Will the Broncos go 16-0? No one said that about the Chiefs. No one said, will the Chiefs go 16-0? But everybody asked, will the Broncos go 16-0? Because of Peyton Manning, and yet the Broncos lost. So my point is, they haven't lost. Go 9-0 in the NFL.
It's more than just that.
That's not easy.
It's not. But real quick about the Broncos, the thing is, what you want to name with the Broncos is because, for football reasons, they can rush the passer, they create turnovers on defense, they can overcome a deficit, they can run the football. They're the most balanced. Like it's not just records. It's more than that.
I know the argument, and I'm saying the argument is stupid because the Broncos are 7-1.
It is because all you're looking at, you're looking at how they're winning, and you're not giving the Chiefs credit for how they're winning. These same teams, the same Jaguars team that put up 30-some points against Denver, put up 2 points against the Chiefs. Two. The same Dallas team that put up 48 against Denver, put up 16 against the Chiefs. Come on, dude. I mean, it's a difference of how they win their game. You cannot say you got to win like this to be considered the best team in the league. That's not how this works. Every team does not have a Peyton Manning, a Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees as their quarterback who can sling it all over the field. As a matter of fact, the team with the four horsemen have to put up 30 points to win their games because their defenses are more suspect. Their defenses are suspect. They give up a bunch of yards, will eventually put teams in the red zone. It gives them a higher percentage of scoring on them. So they have to put up 30 points. The Chiefs do not have to put up 30-plus points because their defense can shut you down to 17.
That's their formula.
Respect that, dude. You're not respecting it because you're saying they're not the best team, and they're not the best team because they're not doing this when they win or they're not doing that when they win. They're winning.
Right. And let me say this, and then we got to move on. If there were two 9-0 teams and that was your criteria to differentiate, I'd have no issue with that. I'd have no issue with that. If there was a 9-0 and an 8-0 because of a bye week, I'd probably say, well, the one extra win should hold some weight. But I'd even go so far as to say, well, that's okay. They're both undefeated, you know. And so when the Broncos were undefeated and we clearly all had the Broncos as the better team because Peyton Manning was blowing everybody out, okay, that's the criteria that we all agreed on as to why this team was better than the other team because they were just blowing people away. But as soon as the Broncos lost, to me, that became a moot point now because the other team's still winning. I don't care whether you win. I mean, K-Star, not to disrespect your Steelers. We're about to talk about them in a second. But you'd be okay with you lost by 24 points. You would have been okay winning that game by a point, wouldn't you have? You would have been okay winning that game 1-30 instead of losing 55-31. So style points can get you so far, but at the end of the day, when we're – and I think the analysts on NFL.com and on the NFL Network and ESPN and Hollywood should listen to us because when you put style points ahead of wins and losses, I mean, I got through – I know I dragged this point on a little long and I played too. I listened to the Dallas Cowboys podcast, and Brian Broaddus was 13 years in the front office in NFL scouting department and different things, and people were complaining, like, you know, Dallas won, but they only played the Vikings. And he said, do you think the Cowboys care? They won. It's a win. Those guys in the locker room are happy as hell they won. It don't matter whether they're playing the Vikings, the Buccaneers, or the Broncos. It's a win. And they're happy as hell they got the win. And people spend too much time wanting blowouts and style points instead you got the win. Be happy and let's move on, you know? And when we're talking about, you know, who are the better teams? I want my team to win. That's what I want. I want my team to win. I worry about how they.
I'm not bashing us for winning games. I'm not bashing this team at all. I think they're a very good team. Like, it's not. It's not really about that. It's just like for me, it's like okay. I mean, we can look at the standings and we can just say okay. So the team that always has a better record is always a better team. It's just. Me, you have to look at just
but
like,
it's more than that. It's wait. You say that very cavalierly. It's more than just the team with the better record. It's an undefeated team. That's the point. It's not the difference between a 6-2 and a 7-1, or a 5-3 and a 6-4.
It's 9-0 and an 8-7-1. It's like it's a one game difference. Like I understand that.
But
I can only assume that when the Broncos and Chiefs play, you guys are going with the Chiefs that game.
That is an irrelevant question to the question.
I can only assume that'll be the case because they'll still be 9-0 2 weeks from now. That's all I'm saying. So we'll see what these guys really feel in this situation.
It's not out of context of what we're talking about.
They'll be 9-0 2 weeks. They have a bye week. Guess what? So don't worry. The best team will play.
No. Oh, so you're saying. When you think a team is better than the other team, you should always pick that team to win. Because we know that's
just asinine.
Oh my God! You guys, this is ridiculous. Okay. So I see you guys probably will not be picking.
That's fine. K-Star, you're making things up so long. How many times did you pick the Steelers to beat the Patriots this weekend?
No, I did not.
You're lucky you weren't on the show.
My deficiencies on the Steelers are bad. We can't stop the run before the game. People at Earl Pryor did it to us and the Jeremy Patton.
I have never heard you pick against the Steelers on this show. So do not sit here and tell me
ever.
Last week you picked the Patriots to beat the Steelers. You know damn well you sat there and said, this is our season, let's go Patriots. So let me go to your Facebook and find out what posts on there.
No, of course I root for the Steelers. Of course I was rooting. Like a good fan would.
Okay.
But, I mean, let's be real. How often this year is 2-5 going to the game anyway? So it's like, all right. I mean, of course you haven't heard me say that because we haven't been this bad.
Yeah. Well, they have. And we're going to give you a minute to talk with the Steelers. We're going to go to the phones in a minute. But listen, you guys are going to give me a minute here. I have to acknowledge a very dear friend of mine who is listening. And I told her that if she let me know that she was listening, that I would acknowledge her. Because you know why, guys? Because I can. I was going to say her name, but I won't say her name because not yet. I may wait. But she knows who she is. You know, she knows who she is. She's in real estate, and we had lunch today, And she knows who she is, and she's listening to the show right now, her first time listening to this show. The main reason I'm not going to say her name is I didn't ask if I could say her name, and I don't like putting people's names on the air without their permission. So if she gives me permission to say her name, then I'll say her name. But she's listening. She's a friend. You guys know what I'm talking about. She's a friend. She's a very sweet person, and I just want to say hello, and I want to thank her for listening to the Madden Voice. You have me, Commissioner T, Dr. Train, K-Star. We're here. If anyone wants to call in, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. You can go catch us on Facebook, The Madden Voice, and you can tweet us at The Madden Voice on Facebook and Twitter as well. Let me go to the phones real quick because I think I know who this is sitting here ready to jump on with us. 615, welcome to The Madden Voice.
Man, T, you ain't no player, man. What are you doing, man? This is a football radio show, man. We ain't got time to time out. Let me holler at this girl. I told her I was going to holler at her and she's listening. Come on.
I am the... Okay, and if I want to holler at a very, very sweet young lady who's, you know, my dad's old school. My dad will say, he used the term smooth knock. Now, I've never heard the term before in my life, but that's the term my dad used. So if I want to holler at my little smooth knock out there, then that's what I'm going to do. You know why? You know why? Because I
can't. Why are you going to do it?
What's up?
See, I'm married, so my days are doing that are over. Man, listen, man, y'all are out of control. Y'all too. T and Train, man. K-Star, you got a great point. I mean, I don't know why y'all see it. Just because of their record, y'all saying that KC is the best team in the NFL right now, if I'm not mistaken.
But they wouldn't pick them against Denver. They won't pick them against Denver in 2 weeks, though. Very interesting.
But you both agree that Denver would beat them right now? Come on, that's a valid point. It don't add up.
Okay, so listen. And I want you guys to listen. And I'm going to say it succinctly and quickly and so that we're clear. Right now, to say that a team that is undefeated and the only undefeated team is not the best team in the NFL is ridiculous. That doesn't mean you have to pick the best team to win every game. There are matchups and there are certain times where you think another team is vulnerable and suspect. I already said when the Broncos was undefeated that they would lose one game to the Chiefs, lose to the Colts, and lose to the Patriots. And they were undefeated at the time and the best team in the NFL. And I was telling you three games that I thought they were going to lose. Yet I was still saying that they're the best team simply because of rivalries, division games, and matchups. So what K-Star is doing...
They don't feel that way.
What K-Star is doing, what K-Star does best, is called the K-Star mind trick, right? Yeah, he knows he's wrong, so I'm going to change the point. The point is...
I don't get it. When do you? Let me ask you a few questions. One, and maybe this could change my mind, but who is KC really beat?
They beat who they played, man.
On their schedule.
I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I don't catch their games. So, hey, who did they beat?
They beat
anybody
who was off.
I'm about to help y'all out. This is why I'm glad I have my computer.
Two, would you have said 4 or 5 weeks ago that KC would be 9-0 right now?
It doesn't matter what we would have said 4 or 5 weeks ago.
I tip my hat to you. You did say Denver was going to lose, but Kansas City?
What I will tell you is if you check the offseason, when we were talking about the draft and offseason moves, on more than one occasion I did say, I'm going to find the tape because I said it. We're talking about teams to look out for. I said, don't sleep on those Chiefs. They got Andy Reid. They picked up Alex Smith. They made some moves. Do not sleep on those Chiefs. I said it a number of times in the offseason. So did anyone
that
think?
That could mean anything. You just say don't sleep on the team. There's about 10 teams out there right now you don't want to sleep on, and people wouldn't want to sleep.
I didn't say it.
I said
one team. I didn't say it's the 10 teams, and then I'm 5-5. I picked one team that I said it about, and this is a team that is now 9-0. But who would have predicted?
Let me ask you this: let me ask you one more question. Where does making them undefeated? Where does draw the line? I mean, if they were 6-0, would we say they were the best team and everybody lost one?
Yeah, because they had a lot of them.
Well, we've already addressed that because when
according
the Broncos
to the standing, which is
when the Broncos, I just don't. When the Broncos and the Chiefs were both undefeated, it was pretty unanimous that the Broncos were the better team because of how they were winning versus how the Chiefs were winning. And if two teams are undefeated and you want to impose your own tiebreakers, that's your business because they're both undefeated. And if your tiebreaker is foul points, blowouts, whatever, but the Broncos are no longer undefeated. They lost the game, period.
Now they're not the best team.
Now they're not the best.
But when they play Kansas City in 2 weeks, it doesn't sound like you're going to pick Kansas City the best team in the NFL.
The question is not about whether
the
Broncos in 2 weeks. The question is right now at 9-0 and 7-1 and all of the teams, other teams with their records, are the Chiefs the best team in the league? That's the question right now. We're not concerned about 2 weeks from now.
The Chiefs are going in a bye week. They're not even playing anyone. They're going in a bye week. Why wouldn't
they
play the best team? And they have to play against San Diego. And they have to play at San Diego. Okay, it's ridiculous. Like, Chiefs aren't going anywhere. They're going to get healthy. They're going to work on their game. They're not playing anyone. They're not going to lose. They're still be undefeated 2 weeks from now. But
They will. And then we will pick.
Well, then I expect you guys to pick the Chiefs then at that point, considering they
and
right now.
And expect us to pick the Chiefs just because we're answering the question has nothing to do with the statement you're making right now.
Yes,
you're
does.
Saying
it
pick
does.
The one between Chiefs and Broncos. That is not the question. The question is, are the Chiefs and Broncos, are they the best team in the league right now?
Wait. One at a time. K-Star, you have said repeatedly that because we think the Chiefs are the best team, that means we need to pick them every week, and that's ridiculous.
That's your argument. Until they lose, right?
The question was, I need to break it down because I guess you're a little slow tonight. The question was, will they go 16-0? That wasn't the question. Will they go 16-0? That wasn't the question. The question was,
that's because they haven't lost a game.
That was the only question was at 9-0. Are they the best team in the NFL? That's it. That was the question.
And your reasoning was what? Because they have not lost a game this season, because they're undefeated.
Right.
They have not lost a game up to this point.
Who have
you're
they
right.
played? Can somebody tell me quickly?
No matter.
I can tell you as soon as I get my chance. I will tell you, and I will show you the difference.
But that has to be a factor. I want K-Star to stop saying this ridiculous, asinine comment that means that because we think they're the best team at 9-0, we have to pick them every week.
You don't feel like they're the best matchup?
There are teams that match up. They're going to match up tough with. It's going to be a tough game against. I already said weeks ago that they're going to split with the Broncos. I'm very consistent. I don't change with the weather like you do, K-Star. I'm very consistent, okay? I think they're the best. And I never said they're going to go 16-0. Never said that.
But until they lose, the logic you're defending them with, it doesn't sound like you can take against them.
Let's go 16-0. I was telling you they won't.
They're still the best team, even though they lost. A great point. You're right. They are going to go 16-0, but guess what? They're still the best team.
Let me ask you this.
You're right.
What makes a great point weeks ago. What makes KC the best team right now? Is it just their record? Is that what we're just basing it off of?
I'm not just basing it off their record, but their record stands strong. And let me make something quite clear. Guys look forward to their bye week. Teams look forward to their bye week. And all of us understand this is a physical sport. For you to go 9 straight weeks and you go undefeated, I don't care what you win by, you won those games. And to help you out, my boy Saint, the Broncos and Saints have played 5 common teams. And then the common theme in all those wins of the Chiefs versus the Broncos is that the Chiefs have pretty much down there shut those teams down. They were not able to score more than 17 points. And versus those same teams playing the Broncos, all of them have pretty much scored 17 points.
the Broncos ain't really paid nobody either. That's why we were saying when they play.
But according to Kate, the Broncos are probably the best team right now.
They're the best because they can run the ball, they can pass it, they can overcome a situation and touch the passer, and they generate turnovers. It's not just, oh, they play defense.
They can shut you down. They can run the ball. And
can they score?
Guess what? Alex Smith can manage to win games. So
right.
I can say the same thing you say in the Chiefs. Are, I mean, you don't have a real argument, dude.
I do. The Broncos are better, and therefore I would definitely pick the Broncos when they play
right
them. I think they're the better team. I'll pick the better team.
I want to ask Saint a question because Saint said the Broncos, he's saying the Chiefs and the Broncos, neither have played anybody. So then are you saying, who is your team that you think is the best and why?
I think right now if I had to choose regular season, I would pick Denver over the KC to be the best league in the league right now.
No, consider all the teams, not just Denver and KC. I'm talking about all the teams right now.
But I,
all
I,
the
I
records.
I want to be clear. You said they think, I mean, Chiefs haven't played anybody, and you said, well, the Broncos ain't played anybody either.
Right.
The team they did play.
Now,
yeah.
If you tell me, did KC – play the Colts?
No, they haven't played them yet. What y'all want
the
fast?
Who did they play that was good? I mean, the record. I mean, if they played somebody who can play, that might change my mind a little bit.
Here's the deal, Saint. Let me clear this up.
Did they beat anybody?
They both played the Jaguars. Jaguars only scored 2 points against the Chiefs. Jaguars put up 19 against the Broncos. They both played the Cowboys.
Hey,
Cowboys
they
put up
playing?
How many were scored, though? That's such a that's
put up 48?
Yeah. Oh, okay, you get to say, oh, they held them to this, but they're not going to offense. It's a team game. Like, it's both sides of the ball.
What you fail to accept the fact that the Chiefs win by shutting teams down versus putting up 30 to 40 points. You want them to win like
really
the Broncos,
nothing,
and then they'll be considered
dude,
the best team in the league.
You,
to me, the Chiefs are unfair.
It's
like saying, oh, I'm going to cut
you're
your
so
hair
off.
This way. I'm not putting words in your mouth. That's what you're saying.
You
don't want
to
say it that way. That's what you're saying.
I'm used to defense. I know problems with defensive teams. Dude, what are you talking about?
Then why weren't you respecting this as the best team in the league right now? I'm not talking about 2 weeks from now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about right now at 5:02 Pacific time. Why are they not the best team in the league sitting at 9-0 and the only undefeated team in the NFL?
Because they can't and they won't beat the Broncos. They won't win that division because they can't put them
at
point.
You are shooting for the future, and that's why you can't accept the question right now. I'm not talking about 5-10. I'm talking about 5-0. I'm not talking about next week. We're talking about right now, K-Star.
They can't score points. They struggle against bad defenses offensively.
K-Star, but they score more than the other team. That's the point of the game, is to score more than the other team. And
I don't score more than
the Broncos. Well, when they play the Broncos, then they beat the Broncos. Now, what's going to happen if they beat the Broncos? Then what are you going to say? And they beat the Broncos.
You got a crown, baby.
Then I'm wrong. This is incomplete right now. Jerry Fell, they got to play someone good. And we're going to see it.
It's incomplete.
I hate on them for not scoring a point initially.
Oh, my God, Kesa, everybody and every analyst in the world talks about who's the best team in the NFL right now. What are you going to say? It's incomplete because you don't like the answer? It's incomplete?
No, because we haven't seen them against a good team. Here, run all over. All right, watch the Chiefs play. You guys actually watch the games, not the standings.
Not...
You tell me they're the best team. Watch the games, not the standings. This is ridiculous.
See, I just want to say one last thing, and then we can move to this one quick point.
I've got NFL Rewind. I watch all the games, K-Star. All
right, well, you'll see how much they struggle against the run, against the Chiefs,
I'm telling you for the last time that's your criteria, and it's independent to you because you do the K-Star mind trick. You change the question. The question. The best team in the NFL, and you're saying it's not them for all these reasons. They're going to lose. They can't do this. They can't do that. And all Train and I are saying is it's disrespectful to the fact that they are 9-0, period. They're 9-0. That's it.
They're undefeated. I get it. They're undefeated, but you won't pick against them when still undefeated next week against the Broncos.
Well, when they play the Broncos, but see, that's not
They'll still be undefeated. That's the thing, they're undefeated.
The question is right now, and you keep ignoring that and going into the future.
I would take the Broncos if they played right now. You guys don't have the confidence to say that,
the
Chiefs.
That's not the question,
Oh my God.
That's not the question.
Man, I think that's a valid point, but y'all sweet.
Right now, there's not. The Broncos are better because they will beat them.
But it's not the question right now, Saint. It's not what we're discussing. When we get ready to discuss the Broncos and the Chiefs, we'll discuss the Broncos and the Chiefs as far as them playing each other. That's not where we're at right now. That doesn't happen until 2 weeks.
When you talk about the best, you're saying they're the best team right now.
Right now.
And we're saying somebody's better than them right now. Because if they play, they beat them right now, then that's a valid point.
No, we're not saying. Wow.
This is the thing.
The only last point I wanted to make is that according to schedules, the Broncos have only played two teams with winning records right now, and the Chiefs have played one team with a winning record.
With
all this hoopla about how the Broncos win and how the Chiefs win, they just win it differently. But the only difference is that the Chiefs are still undefeated after 9 weeks.
Hold on, what did you just say? You said they've only played one team with a winning record?
The Cowboys.
Yeah, they played the Cowboys. And the Broncos have only played the Colts and the Cowboys who have winning records.
See, man, we just going to sweep away and say that they the best. They ain't played nobody.
They undefeated, though, Saint.
Come on, man.
All right, we're gonna move on. I want to say this before we talk about K-Star Steelers is when we ask a question, it would be helpful if people answered the question and not their own version of the question, because Train and I are not saying that the Chiefs are gonna go undefeated. We're not saying I will say it one last time. I was the one who said the Broncos would lose. K-Star was saying they might go undefeated. I don't think anyone's
going to beat
them. I
never said they were undefeated.
Okay. Well, and not only did I say they were going to lose, I told you who they were going to lose to. Okay. So my point, quite frankly, is the question was a real simple one. Right now. That's all we said is right now. That's it. Right now.
Yeah, but the thing is, you made such a great call. Hold on real quick. You made such a great call at that, and it's true. But, like, the thing is, the Broncos, like, you're right. They'll probably finish, 13-3, the Broncos, for instance. Absolutely correct. But to me, that still makes them, probably in my mind, and just the way they play, is the best team, though. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you're right. You either want to lose because it's going to be 16-0. No one's going to go 16-0. It's so rare when it does happen. No one's playing that.
K-Star, what I would strongly recommend you do to improve your NFL analytical skills is stop looking into the future to predict today. Today is a yes or no. Tomorrow is we don't know. So you can have an opinion about tomorrow because we don't know what's going to happen. You're looking at tomorrow, and you're allowing your tomorrow feelings to affect what has already happened. What has happened is the Chiefs are 9-0. That's a fact. We know that. So based on the fact, we're saying, Fran and I, that they're the best team. Now, anything beyond that,
but they ain't beat nobody.
You're asking who the best team right now is. You got to be absolutely correct if you ask who's the best team through 9 weeks. Because by then you're right. Break the record. Hey, who's the best team right now? Like I said, they play right now. I'm picking Denver because I feel like Denver matches up better with anyone else.
Who's
the best NFL team right now?
Question wasn't if they played, who could beat them. That wasn't the question.
It's who's the best in the NFL right now.
The question was who's the best in the NFL right now. That doesn't mean you're saying they're going to go undefeated. They may end up 14-2. They may end up with home field all the way through the playoffs at 14-2. What are you going to say? You know, we don't know. Who knows if they're 9-0? That's it.
Let me say this real quick. Two things. One, there was a year that the Titans, I believe we went 8-0. I think your boy was a quarterback. I forget his name. He started being terrible, but the white guy, old guy.
Kerry Collins.
He was quarterback. Kerry Collins. Yeah.
Kerry Collins.
I ain't no way in the world I would have said we're the best team in the NFL right then. And then you remember when Indiana used to go 10-0 and 11-0 every year?
Or actually, 16-0 years ago with Josh McDaniels went 7-0, and then they finished the season like 9-7. Like,
I knew they weren't the best team in the league.
Again.
So just because they're 9-0, especially when they haven't played anybody.
I will tell you both. We're not crowning anybody. We're just answering a question. And the fact that you refuse to look at today and judge off of today is a flaw in your argument.
So
I'm judging today.
We don't, I'm going off today.
Like,
I'm not going off yesterday. You guys are going through what happened already through 9 weeks. I'm not going through today.
No, I'm only talking about what happened, 9-0. We don't know. The Beast could go 16-0. They could. I don't think they will, but they could. Just as much as you guys are saying they're going to lose here, lose there. Okay, that could be true. But you did have to entertain that they could go 16-0 then, too, right? So we can
I believe it.
We can debate it, but we don't know. But when you're
luckily they play in a couple of weeks. We'll see. We'll get more clarity.
When you're asked a question about right now, I don't need clarity for tomorrow because we'll ask the question again. But for today,
I'm very confident. Then you're not very confident in your answer. It's really that.
For today, they're 9-0. Everything you guys are doing is discrediting the 9-0. And yeah, when your team was 8-0, and when the Colts were 11-0, everybody said they were the best team in the NFL at that time. I know.
No, I didn't.
You ain't nobody. You don't know what you're talking about.
I was right because they didn't win. They didn't win the bowl. They didn't win the shit.
We're factually correct. The Chiefs have the best record. So far this season, they have been the best team. But right now, isn't what happened yesterday. And that's what I'm saying. Like, yes. What do we need to break down, though, in that situation? It's like, all right, we saw what happened 9 weeks. They're 9-0. He's 8-1. What analysis is needed? We're not giving any, or you guys aren't giving any. You're only looking at what happened yesterday. I mean, like,
I'm looking at. They're 9-0. I'm saying at 9-0, and the only 9-0 team in the NFL, there's nothing else to look at.
So you,
they lose,
you're going on record. You're saying from now on.
Are they playing now? What do you say right now? Guys, you want to play, you wouldn't take it.
I'm sorry?
Right. You're saying from now on, if a team is undefeated after 9 weeks and nobody else is, you're going to say that they're the best team in the league, no matter who they play.
Hey, K-Star. How come the Chiefs are number one in your power rankings if they're not the best team?
Simply because based off the criteria which we use on this NFL TMV power rankings, so far through 9 weeks, they have the best record because we are not about going for what happened tomorrow or today. We talk about what happened yesterday. And through 9 weeks, you're right. Actually, Chris, the best team, but that's the best team today. The best team yesterday. The best team yesterday, but not today.
Wait. You just made a statement that I need to exploit to just show how stupid you're being. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, No, I'm being stupid, but you won't pick the Chiefs today. Gotcha. But they're the best team today. Wait. No. Okay, makes sense.
So you want to go off of what you think is going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. Did you think the Jets were going to beat the Saints?
All right, well, we don't need to give it. We do not need to give any sort of semblance of analysis whatsoever. We should just look at the standings. It's done.
See, when you want to deal in the real world, join me, because I'm asking a very straightforward question. Did you think the Jets were going to beat the Saints? I know the answer.
No. You know why? No. Of course I didn't think they were beat because I'll be their better team than them.
Then don't sit there and tell me you know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you're going to use that criteria to judge today. Because you don't know. You've got an opinion. Your opinion on tomorrow doesn't affect today's reality. Today's reality is they're not.
Yesterday's reality. This is in between today and yesterday. See, that's what you realize. What happened yesterday doesn't mean that they play today. That's what happened. Not tomorrow.
They're
9-0. Today.
They're 9-0. Right.
Yeah, so far, yesterday, 9-0. Yeah.
That's it. That's the question.
Yep, but you won't pick him. You won't pick him.
You know, K-Star, honestly, I'm disappointed because I've been very clear. I speak the English language better than you'll ever speak it, and you keep changing.
But you're not making any good points. The thing is, your points are bad. They're not any good points. They're not any good ones.
I don't have to pick.
They're bad.
That's not the question.
We just move.
They're 9-0. that I don't have to.
Who they ain't played nobody? Who cares if they 9-0? They ain't played nobody.
If your Titans, if your Titans were 9-0, thank you. Okay. So
I know that's the point I made. They was 8-0, and I knew they wasn't the best team in the league. They just played some scrubs. I knew they wasn't the best team in the league. The Titans were 8-0, and I knew they wasn't. With Kerry Collins at quarterback,
you're consistent, and you're consistently disrespecting the fact that an undefeated team should get the credit of being undefeated, particularly if they're
no. But I think it's bad if that's all you're going to look at. If that's all you're looking at is their record at 9-0. And the question is, who has the best record in the league right now?
I hate to.
Who's the best record? Who's the best team?
I hate
that. It is a different question.
I hate to educate you guys, but at the end of the day, what matters in the NFL is who wins. That's what matters. It doesn't matter how. It matters who gets the
W. They're not the only team winning.
That's it. That's all that matters.
The best record.
That's all that matters. And maybe
that's
not
all
that
matters.
No, the question is, all that matters at the end of the day is who wins. That's it.
But who has the better record?
A lot of
teams. Who has the better record in the NFL?
Or did you lose? Did you win or did you lose? Let's talk about, since we're talking about losers, let's talk about your Steelers, Case Carr, and how they got annihilated by the Patriots, and how you were starting to say that the Steelers were on their way back and don't count them out. And what are your thoughts now? I mean, now you get to go into your crystal ball and predict what you think is going to happen to your team. Now you can do it because I'm asking that question.
Well, we're bad, first of all. We can't stop the run. This has been, for a Steelers team, I've never seen a Pittsburgh Steelers team struggle to stop the run so bad. The only year I can think of when a Steelers struggled to stop the run to this degree is year 2000. And we were horrible that season. Even though we finished 9-7, we can't stop the run now. That's been our strength for years. If anything, we were always weak against the pass, strong against the run. We can't stop the run. We can't stop the pass. We can't rush the quarterback. We already have Jarvis Jones benched, which is very sad for me. I expected a lot out of him as a rookie. We can't pass protect. One thing we can do, the only player that, listen, aside from Ben and Troy, whatever, I mean, we already know who those guys are. The only other player who's done anything worthy at all to be a Pittsburgh Steelers as of now is Le'Veon Bell, who's run the football very well. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, we just look talent depleted. I mean, we lost Kiese Hampton a couple of years ago. Our run defense wasn't nearly as bad as it was, last year as it is this year. But we're soft up front. We've gone through drafts, unfortunately, these past few years where we've missed defensively, and it's showing. I mean, when you have a team that can't stop the run and struggles to put up points consistently because of a bad offensive line, you're going to be in situations where you have no control of the game, and that you're probably going to be forced in a situation where, again, you have to pass with pressure, starting your quarterback's feet, and again, have the ability to not get your defense off the field. It's a losing formula, and right now we are absolutely just at the point where we can't do much about it. When we play good teams, and even the Raiders, who aren't even a good team, they're clearly a better team than we are, unfortunately. They can at least stop the run. It's very depressing.
So
first of all, but we can't.
So I ask again, are they done?
We are done this season. Now we have some parts moving forward, but this season we are done. We're too far behind Cincinnati right now. I believe they're 6-2. Here we are 2-6. That's a 4-game difference. They've been playing pretty good defense. They've been scoring points. They've been protecting the quarterback pretty well for the most part. They have some young, talented players. We don't really have a whole lot of young, talented players right now. It's really sad. We just have old reliables, Troy, Polamalu, Ben Roethlisberger, a new guy, Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown's decent. But aside from that, defensively, we're bad. We're all the way bad. And it pains me to say I expect it.
I have a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin, but I think this job is even too big for him at this point. He's saying the same stuff that we like to hear him say about, you know, the people that aren't going to perform, they can go and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, at this point, you know, this is not the same Steelers team. you know, that, that K-Star has been accustomed to rooting for. This team is terrible. They're just terrible. And, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying this to give you a hard time, but I think the reality is that halfway through the season, they might arguably, I think you can argue this point, but you know, they're at the bottom of the standings, and they may very well be the worst team in that division at this point. They're just terrible, and it's unfortunate because, you know, when you have veterans like Troy and Ben, and you have a coach that we all three of us have given credit to, Mike Tomlin, but this just team is just in pieces. It's just in pieces. And Jerome Harris.
Talented, depleted team. It's very sad.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that Harrison left, and he ends up winning the Bengals, and the Bengals are looking like they're going to take that division. So, all right, let's move on. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, especially since on this one. This is the one I thought you might still try to find reason to keep them alive. Let's move on to Train. I have to ask. I saw your Facebook post about the Bears winning, and you specifically said that you did not care that Aaron Rodgers was knocked out of the game. A win is a win. You care to elaborate that a little bit?
Oh yeah, I can elaborate on that. It meaning that I'm not going to have like this. Oh man, we end up taking advantage of the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers. No, man, I don't care because we've lost Jay Cutler at key times when we didn't really have a true backup, and we had to try to find a way to win, and we couldn't win. And no one had any sympathy for the Bears. We was just a team that sucked. So, in that sense, I mean, I don't like to see players get injured. I really don't. I like the best to go up against the best. But at the end of the day, you know, Rodgers went out. We found a way to pull that game out. It was backup against backups. Yeah, our backup had a little bit more preparation because he trained with the ones all week. Seneca Wallace wasn't as prepared, and you could tell by his gameplay. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have any boo-hoos for Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers went down. All I have is hoorahs for the Bears for pulling that one out.
Do you think there's talk? I mean, so now you've got all three teams at 5-3, Bears, the Packers, and the Lions, all at 2-1 in division. You know, and I think – I don't remember who's got the tiebreaker, but it really doesn't matter because it's half the season ago. So they're tied. All practical purposes, all three teams are tied. And there have been multiple reports that Jay Cutler is going to come back for Sunday's game. I believe it's the Lions that you guys are playing on Sunday. And there has been some questions as to, you know, with the groin injury and the way that McCown, whatever his name is, was pretty effective. You know, play pretty well. What are your thoughts on, you know, do you let Cutler come back? This is a big game, or do you ride McNown in there and say, hey, you know, guy's playing well. We think he's playing well enough to win this game, and let's give Cutler because we're really going to need Cutler down the stretch. Do you protect Cutler another week or two and ride the hot hand, or do you say, nah, this game's too big, and if Cutler can play, then we got to go with our thoroughbred.
If Cutler is healthy, if he's healthy enough to play, you allow him to play. But at the same time, you don't rush him back. I don't think we need to. The main thing that hurt us when we played the Lions the last time was our defense. So our defense still needs to play when it comes this next game, no matter what. Cutler or McCown, whichever one ends up being the starter, does in this game. If the defense doesn't show up, we will lose another game against Detroit. They put up 40 points the last time we played them. I mean, we can't expect the offense to continue to do that no matter who's at quarterback. McCown has shown he can run the offense and we can score, but the defense has to show up for this game. I would say, you know, there's no need to rush Cutler back, but if he's healthy, if he can run the offense like he was able to run it before he got injured, then by all means, bring back your starter. Because we definitely need a quarterback back there that can move playing against the Lions. And Josh McCown can move. He can scramble. He can keep a play alive long enough to make a play.
And I would just say this. I would, if he's 100%, then I'd play him. If he's 90, I wouldn't. Because I was very impressed with your backup. He played well. I told you I was scouting both teams. And I can tell you now, I would be shocked if the Packers didn't go pick up Matt Flynn. I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
He knows a team system. Because Seneca Wallace, to me, he just ain't good. He's never been good to me in the NFL. I cannot find a time in his 5 or 6 years that he's floated around that I could say he's been good. He's mobile, and that's about it. I can't imagine why. I mean, I would take Vince Young over him, frankly, just because Vince Young has been a winner with the Packers. He's been a winner. And the fact that they went with Seneca Wallace completely shocks me. But now, and let me just say this, since we're talking about the NFC North, let me just say this. Tony Romo had an injury very similar to this and was out for the year. Do not be surprised. He's not. I'm going to go on record now and say it ain't going to be 3 weeks. Everyone's saying 3 weeks. It ain't going to be 3 weeks because collarbones, there's really nothing you can do. You know, they have to kind of heal themselves. There's really not a lot you can do. You've got the arm in a sling, and they got to heal. And I don't think, like I said, Romo had this. He was out. He was out for the year. I don't see him back in 3 weeks. So that said, they're going to need to get a backup. They're going to need to prepare as if Aaron Rodgers is not returning, and then if he can play in 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, then it's a benefit. Then it's like, great, we got our horseman back, right? Train's word, horseman, he's back. So I think they're going to get Flynn, and that's who we're going to see because he's had that career game, and we'll see. I think the Packers are in trouble, though, frankly, which is good for the Bears. But if I'm the coach, if I'm Trestman, I sit Cutler until he's 100%. He could play and make all the throws, do all the moves, everything we're used to seeing. When he's 100%, you're starting because he's your man. You're 90, you're 95, you're 98, hold the clipboard because your backup was playing pretty well, I got to tell you. He had me worried. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, because you guys had some bad before, man. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't remember their name, but if I played them, I wasn't worried. I watched them. I'm like, okay, he could play. He's a good backup. He's like Kyle Orton. You know, Kyle Orton can manage the team for 2 or 3 games. This guy's doing the same thing pretty well. So I would sit Cutler and make sure. Groins are – I've had groin pulls. I've had groin tears. And, you know, they don't heal quickly. And
no, they're very nagging injuries.
And there really isn't a lot you can do. I mean, you can massage them and wrap them, but they just got to heal, you know. So, you know.
I thought you almost had another groin pull earlier when you were shouting out your friend. So I'm happy to hear that it was only in the past and not, you know, continuous.
Let's be respectful now, young man. Let's be
no,
respectful.
No, it was dope.
I was just acknowledging a very, very, cool person.
I didn't mean that in any kind of way.
She might still be listening. I don't know. She may have to. You know, this is election day. You know, it's election day around the country, and may have to run out an election celebration if. This particular gentleman won his election, so I'm not sure if she's still listening or not. Or she could have got sick of hearing K-Star's blasphemy earlier and just shut the show up. I don't know. Anyway.
That's very possible.
All right. While we're on the Bears, let's talk about this signing that hurts, but I understand it. Jay Ratliff, a defensive tackle of the Dallas Cowboys, was released. And was just signed to play for the Bears. And Train posed the question, will he fill that void when healthy? Let me take this simply because at this point I know Jay Ratliff better than Train does. Jay Ratliff, when healthy, is a monster. He's undersized. But he's very strong and very quick, and he just has a nose to get to the ball. He could play defensive tackle. He could play defensive end. and he's mean, and he's a team leader, and he's very, very good. If the Jay Ratliff that I saw before he got hurt returns, you guys got a diamond. You guys are going to be very happy, and he will fit with the aggressive mentality of the Bears defense. He will fit right there. Stick him right next to Julius Peppers and let him go, and he, you guys will love him. My question is that Jay Ratliff coming back? He hasn't played in a while. Had nagging injuries, and I'm not sure his head is on straight because he kind of left Dallas in a bit of a puff. So that's the question that I cannot answer is, will he return to his previous form? But I think it was a good risk. We couldn't afford to keep him. As the bottom line is, we had to release him because it would have cost us too much money to keep him. So it was as much of a business decision. And I think there's questions as to whether he will return healthy. So Dallas said, we got to move on. And I applaud the Cowboys because in the past, the Cowboys has held on to people longer than they should have, kind of like the Raiders, and you get stuck with too much money in the salary cap and old players, and that philosophy's out the window now. They get rid of old players, you know. So and I think he was starting to be a little disruptive because he wasn't happy. There was a lot of negativity, but if he returns to his previous form, yeah, the dude is serious. He can stop the run. He can rush the passer. He's great. He's not good. He's great. He's a Pro Bowler, and you guys will be very lucky that if he goes back to his previous form, you'll be very happy, and I'll be pissed at him in mysticism.
Awesome, because we definitely need it. And I mean, I knew Phil Emery was the type of GM to make those kind of moves. He's constantly searching for the best player that's out on the streets. And when I saw he came in for a workout, I was like, okay. This guy might end up getting signed because Chicago needs help. We need help significantly at the D-tackle position. I mean, we have a defensive end playing D-tackle because we're struggling that much.
That's rough.
You know, of course, I got to take a minute to talk about how about them Cowboys? You know, it's great that the Cowboys are on the back page of the news, that they're not on the front page this week like they were last week. I like it better when we're on the back page. You know, let's talk about, you know, the incognito issue. Let's talk about, you know, the Chiefs. Let's talk about, you know, the Saints losing. And, you know, let's talk about the Seahawks and how they struggled, you know, and then came back to win. And, you know, and let's just, you know, let's just quietly not really talk about the Cowboys because they only beat the Vikings. I'm okay with that. But they beat the Vikings. And, you know, here's a situation where all I will say is that this is what happens. This is typical media because since 2011, there's three quarterbacks that have 11 fourth-quarter comebacks. And I believe it's Aaron Rodgers. That's the one I'm not sure about. And I know the other two are Andrew Luck and Tony Romo. Okay? These are the things that people forget when – you know, an interception or something happens. Everyone wants to talk about that, but these are the games that people don't remember. And this is the stuff he does far more than the other stuff. This is Tony Romo. What you saw with that 90-yard drive and, you know, that command of that offense is the Tony Romo that I'm always applauding. And that's what we see far more than the other guy that people want to act like that's the Tony Romo. That's, oh, no, Tony, you know, no. That's not and there are many quarterbacks that do the same type of ill-advised passes at different points in the game. It's just it's just the way it is. And as a Cowboy fan, I'm okay with Romo. I'm okay, you know. And this game will tell you why, you know. And yeah, it's the Vikings. They're 1-7, and oh my God. And you know what? It's a win. I take it, and let's move on to the Saints. But you know, it brings up an interesting point because in the NFC East right now, the Giants did not have a game, but the Eagles, with 7 touchdowns by Nick Foles. And isn't it funny that you can throw 7 touchdowns and not be named a starter next week? But currently, they have not made a decision on who's going to start. So that should tell you something about Nick Foles. But still was a great game, and you know, the Eagles came back with a win.
came out with when the Redskins are the team that really surprised me, because I really didn't think that they would be able to beat the Chargers, and then the way they did it. You know, there's some questions and some calls made in that game, but hey, you know what? They won. So in the NFC East, it's really still two losses separating first place from last place. Cowboys are 5-4. The Giants are 2-6. So, you know, but each week that goes by, that 2 or 3 game difference becomes bigger and bigger. So it is going to be very interesting to see what happens. I still don't think the Eagles are in it. I still think it's going to come down to the Cowboys or the Redskins. And I will say this, keep an eye on the Giants, because if they can put together a couple of wins, they could come back into this race. I don't believe in the Eagles, and it's just simply, frankly, because the quarterback situation. So, anyway.
I mean, Cora did throw a 7 touchdown.
Yeah, and he's not the starter.
I think he's a starter. It's just, I think that's just Chip Kelly just doing what he does. I mean, he kind of said before the game, like, Matt Barkley or Nick Foles may be the starter facetiously. It's like, come on, we all knew it was Foles. Just like before the season, he was like, Foles or Vic? I really don't know who it's going to be. We knew it was going to be Vic. I just think it's more Chip Kelly. Not that they had a great quarterback situation. Not saying that. But, I mean, yeah, the guy did throw seven touchdowns.
But the reality is that your quarterback threw 7 touchdowns, and you have not come out and said he's starting next week.
Yeah. Is that Michael Vick's health or something? Like, is there more to that? I'm just asking because I don't know.
He's got, I mean, Michael Vick gets injured a lot, and he's got hamstring issues. And, you know, I don't think it's more than just that. But I think, you know, I think the problem with Foles is he's been inconsistent as a starter. This is the first good game he's had that he didn't play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think Chip Kelly is sitting there saying, I mean, was he really that good, or were the Raiders really that bad? You know, was this another Matt Flynn game from 2 years ago?
Was this more my team or my player?
What's that?
Yeah, no, I was kind of saying, from Chip Kelly's mindset, was this more my offensive scheme or my player's ability?
Yeah, I think that he's got to keep the door open for Michael Vick, because, you know, Michael Vick, I think, fits that scheme still better than Foles. I think in the offseason, they're going to have to start from scratch, and I don't think Foles is the answer. I think Vic is on his way out simply because of just a culmination of hits and injuries, and Barkley's not an insufficient body of work to see if he's someone that they could groom. But they're going to need a quarterback, and that's why I think the Eagles this year aren't going to go anywhere. Even though they had a great game, I don't think they're going to go anywhere. All right, let's move on to our individual segments. We spent a lot of time on some of the other stuff, and we had some good topics here that we covered, and there's a couple of good ones we may save for next week. But let's go to our individual segments, and we're going to start off with the philosophy, Dr. Train's philosophy. Dr. Train, take it away.
Well, this won't be long. This will be very short. You know, there's been quite a bit of talk, and it's been past weeks. With the whole Mayweather's headhunting of, you know, in the Bears game, they ended up getting him suspended for a game. And, you know, it's pretty vicious hits on both Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall. And Brandon Marshall called for him to be kicked out of the game. We got all that news in hoopla. But when I hear the analysts talk about this, the whole thing they keep saying is that, you know, with Mayweather's comments about, oh, you got to go for the ACLs now in order to make a hit and tear ACLs, to me, they're missing the whole point of him headhunting. There have been players who make hits up top and they've been penalized because it's been what I would consider a accidental helmet-to-helmet, and that's where a player finds a target, they have their target, but by the time they end up making the hit, the offensive player ends up getting much lower and it ends up being helmet to helmet. That's not Mayweather. He actually leaps, leaving his feet helmet first, not with his shoulder, not with his arm stretched out to try to grab. No, he leads, leaving his feet as if he's a human spear, head first into a player, to knock him out. Every single hit he has, where he has a running start, that's exactly what he does. And in some hits, it's cost him more than it cost the other player. So to me, you know, there's still a way to tackle players, you know, by tackling how we've been taught to hit and wrap up and drive back if we could, or either, you know, lead with your shoulder and choose a point of contact. But that's not what Mayweather is doing. And I understand the whole argument with, you know, at some point the NFL is going to have to find a way to fix this issue because they want to protect from concussions, but they're leaving a vulnerability to players' knees because now you're asking players to go low, and, you know, you change careers when players start having knee injuries. But in Brandon Mayweather's case, no. This guy's head, honey. This guy's leaving his feet. He's a human spear, leading with his head. That's totally different from, you know, the other tackles I've seen where guys have either led with their shoulder and it's been a helmet to helmet, you know, because it's been more accidental than more on purpose as I've seen this guy play.
Interesting point. Okay.
Hey, real quick, Train, did you see, I don't know if you watched Mayweather play at all, he actually did have a couple of big hits on the legs there. I just thought it was interesting seeing him kind of.
Since then, yes.
What's that?
I said since then, since he's been back, since he came up with suspension, yes.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him. I mean, he's made the change. But, you know, prior to that, it was him, you know, leaping with his head first.
Yeah, I wasn't here, obviously, last week, but I actually felt that Mayweather, just based off his comments alone, warranted possibly an indefinite suspension, just because, to me, the logic that was, okay, well, I'm going to go out and try to end people's careers, that, to me, kind of said, okay, well, this guy has malicious intent. What's really the difference between him and what Greg Williams issued the Saints to do?
I feel like he was really just being facetious because he's, you know,
he's
getting tired of the league getting on him.
And maybe he was, but, I mean, you know, he was just such a guy that kept doing it, like he's a problem child. But, yeah, it's a tough adjustment. It really is, and it sucks because, I mean, personally, I don't want to see players go low on some of my favorite players or maybe some of my fancy players because, you know, you're more prone to get hurt. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is players are saying, like, hey, you're all protecting the players. Well, guess what? You know, our leagues are also important, but it's just I don't know how the NFL can really fix the issue. It's
the catch 22.
Huh?
I'll put it to you this way. These guys know if someone is legitimately headhunting or trying to hurt you versus, you know, being a clean hit that just, you know, got a little carried away. I think these guys know, and they will police themselves. So if Mayweather is actually doing dirty, watch. Mark, I know he's suspended or whatever now, but I'm not sure what his status is. I mean, he was suspended and he was.
I mean, he's back. That suspension game is come and gone, so he's back now.
Okay. So if it can, mark my words, they will take care of it on the field if in fact he's deemed as dirty, as opposed to some, you know, if he's not. They'll take care of it. I've seen it time and time again. K-Star, you know, you kind of ranted about the Steelers a little bit, but I'm sure you have more in you.
Look, Steelers fans everywhere, we are the spoiled children, the spoiled fan base of the NFL. We are brats. We are entitled. This is who we are. Honestly, it's part of our charm. But the only problem is we convince ourselves, and I'm clearly guilty of it, we convince ourselves week after week that the Steelers can turn it around, that we are mythical, that we can make a 2-6 run and go 10-6. It's not going to happen. Unfortunately, the helmet, the jerseys, don't win you the games. If the play is a play. And, again, I love my Steelers brethren, but I've come to earth. I've accepted reality. I've accepted facts. We can't stop the run. We are a talented, defensive team, especially defensively in the middle of our defensive unit. And we are a team right now that honestly is done. And it's very sad.
It is very sad to say to sit here and watch a wasted year of a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger and defense players split Polamalu. It's sad. It doesn't feel right. Honestly, it feels dirty. I feel bad for those two guys in particular for all what they've done. And I know T was kind of telling me a few weeks ago that the Steelers keep treading downward, which was very possible. And obviously, put out to that. That reminded him of when, you know, Troy Aikman had those wasted years there and just not the same team. And it's just, unfortunately, the ebb and flow of the NFL. It's a parity-ridden league. We can't always be great every year, very good every year. Eventually, bad drafts will catch up to us, and they have. And, guys, we got to give up hope right now for the season. It's unfortunately lost. Now, right spot, Le'Veon Bell is the guy I'm looking at. It could be a cornerstone franchise for years and years to come as a running back. But defensively, they're needing to make some adjustments. I don't know what Troy Polamalu's future will be. He's been very good this season. But cap figure-wise, the Steelers need to get better. They need more players that are solid, quality good players rather than one great player at this point. It's come to that fruition for us. Now, again, Steelers fans, it's over, unfortunately. We'll root for our team. I personally will still watch every Steelers game. I'm a Steelers fan. But you can't let your fandom also cloud your analysis of what's going on with your football team. And also, don't do it to yourselves. Let's not do it to ourselves. Let's not amp ourselves up for every single game thinking that this is the week we turn it all around. I mean, yeah, that'd be great, but we don't have the parts to do it. So, again, Steelers Nation, I love you guys, but sadly, got to say, it's over for us this year. And we'll just see who's the young players that can contribute going forward. That's what we should be looking forward to now.
You'll get no argument from us. all right, so T-Bonics. So my T-Bonics, and let me hold on here. I got me a little liquid refreshment, you know, and my mouth gets a little dry, you know, a Madden voice.
Mine too, by the way. I had to just chug down some water just now. It was kind of rough.
Boy, that's good. Yeah, but at least I'm saying something. But anyway, okay, a change of pace here for a minute. So we talked about the Richie Incognito and that situation, and I got to thinking that you know, when I started the Madden Voice radio show, which has had several previous names, and the Madden Voice name stuck, but it was EAFL Radio and EAFL Podcast, and yeah, a couple of names before we became the Madden Voice. I was doing the Madden video game, and that's how I've met K-Star and Dr. Train. Dr. Train played in the league, and as I've said every show, he won our very first Super Bowl. I remember clearly flying to Florida and going through the airport to get my rental car and following the Super Bowl game between Train and Memphis on my smartphone as best as I could because it was our first Super Bowl and I was so excited as I was going to Florida on vacation. And I, of course, remember playing K-Star in a Madden tournament, and he was easy on me, but he whooped me like I was his kid. And I remember running Madden Leagues, and to this day no one has done to Madden Leagues what me and my partners, me and my compadres, me and the group of people that we've had done to Madden Online Leagues. It will never be done again. You'll never see one entity with 10 leagues of 32 teams each and a waiting list to get into the leagues. It'll just never happen again. It will never be duplicated, imitated, or repeated. But I remember that I left the game of Madden, and I left it. A lot of it was because I was dealing with a lot of teenage young men that didn't understand that I was a grown man and didn't understand that I didn't, you know, I'm old enough to be your dad. And a lot of them were rude and disrespectful. And I didn't need to deal with that. And then I had some internal issues with leadership and stuff. But one of the biggest frustrations where I'm going with this is I remember having numerous conversations with some of the young men in Madden, and we would talk about racism and prejudice, and they were ignorant to the fact that it's still there, and they would say, oh, you know, it's not, no one's prejudiced anymore, no one's, you know, and I'd say, but, you know, no disrespect, but you're white,
and you're 15. You haven't lived. You don't know. And as I've gone through life, I find a lot of people ignorant to the fact that they think because things are better that it's gone. Well, you know, the Richie Incognito thing tells you it's not gone. The Riley Cooper situation tells you that it's not gone. When people feel that they can use the N-word and be disrespectful to an African-American, that tells you that it's not gone. You know, and I, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that there were no black NFL head coaches, and now, you know, there were no black starting quarterbacks. Right? It was a big deal when Doug Williams became the first starting quarterback. Remember Rush Limbaugh when he was working with ESPN, and he talked about Donovan McNabb, right? I mean, I can go on and on to situations that show you that racism and prejudice, particularly in professional sports, but just in general in our society, is not gone. And so I want to just – I just want people to consider the fact that, yes, I am a black man. So is Dr. Train. And I don't believe that K-Star has any racism in his body. I don't believe that at all. And I'm just here to tell you all that better is not enough. And we should not rest till it is gone. You know, when Dr. Martin Luther King said, I want to be judged by the content of my character instead of the color of my skin, those are the most profound, deepest words ever said, in my opinion, other than words that we may find in the Bible. And that's what we should be striving for. And when we have a day like this, and we're talking about Incognito and the racial slurs and this and that, we're talking about Jonathan Martin, and we're talking about him taking a leave of absence, and this guy's not going to play football anymore, and what's going on? And here somewhere, take a deep breath and pause and just be sad. Just be sad that this is still happening. Be sad that we still have Riley Cooper, you know, being disrespectful. You know, there was a situation with Paula Deen not that long ago that made major news. And she comes on TV and cries after the fact. You know, it's there. It's evident. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say it's not going away. And maybe things are better. Maybe they are. But it's not enough. It's not enough. When I walk into a room and you look at me as a man and not a black man, then I'll say, we've gotten there. On that note, let's move on to our power rankings. Because we all know that the Chiefs are not the best team in the NFL. So the TMV NFL power rankings are as follows. Number 5 are the New England Patriots. Number 4 are the Seattle Seahawks. Number 3, Indianapolis Colts. Number 2, the Denver Broncos. Number 1, the Kansas City Chiefs. I must ask K-Star, how bitter can you be to not have the Patriots on your top 5? How bitter are you at that whooping they put on your team that you do not have them?
Well, I'll tell you. I already had to give a funeral speech. I had to pretty much lay my Steelers to rest for the season, throw some dirt on us. If you really thought I was going to take it to the point where I then would crown the team that did that, give them some praise, give them some sort of sheer acknowledgement, well, then you're sadly mistaken. No, I am better. You are absolutely correct. I will not hide it. The Patriots are a very good football team, but I can't – listen, I don't want to acknowledge it right now. I really don't. Next week we can revisit it. We can talk about it. We can talk about the New England Patriots to death. But this week is not the week for me, personally, Patrick Henson-Shaw, as a Steelers fan, to do so. And I'm very bitter.
You know,
I'm glad you can pick up
on
that.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to surprise you, K-Star. I totally don't agree with your whole philosophy on the Chiefs and the Broncos. I totally think you're out for lunch on that. I totally think you're insane. But you know what? On this one, now, this is why you're on the Madden Voice. This is why we do a show for the fans, because you're speaking like a fan. Because right now, you're saying, listen, I know the Patriots should be in the top 5, but I'm sorry, guys. They whooped up on my team. I can't do it. And I can't be mad at you about that. I can't be mad at you about that. Train, am I wrong? I can't be mad at them this week. I can't. I got to give you a pass this week because that's what we do as fans. You know what I'm saying? As a fan of your team, I got to give you props for that one because that's okay. We give you a week. You got to heal because it was ugly. It hurt. It might have been your team. It really did. And I understand that. I can't be mad at you, bro. I can't. Train, what do you think?
This is why, like you said, this is why we created the Mad Voice. It was a show for the fans, by the fans. And I would take a fan answer over anything you gave earlier for why the Chiefs are not 9-0.
Listen, I mean, I wrote the Steelers obituary tonight, man. That was already tough enough to do. I can't, again, praise, you know, laid us down to rust. Like, I think realization had a lot of Steelers. This is it. Like, for the team that we knew and loved for the Super Bowl runs and just that era of being very, very good. I appreciate the support for that because, again, like I said, I couldn't, not to the Undertakers. That's what the Patriots are to me, to the Undertakers.
You will never hear Dr. Train or Commissioner T, the omniscient one, ever down you for loyalty. See, loyalty we can respect. Now, there's limits to loyalty. Like, you can't hold on to this all season. We'll give you a week.
No. I got to get a week. I just can't.
I understand. It hurts. I mean, honestly, please don't take this as a shot because you know I have no problem giving you a shot. But this isn't a shot. But I'm glad I'm not the Steelers. I'm glad we're not sitting there at 2-6. It makes me feel good. I can sit and be like, whoo, because I don't even know what I would do right now. I really don't even know what I would do if my team had self-destructed and I have to come on this show and talk about how poorly my team's playing. I don't even know what I would do. So I give you credit, and I understand. I understand.
Don't worry, I did it last season. It's doable.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we got to pick some games. So, actually, Dr. Train picked all these games, and these were pretty much the games to pick. So good job, Train. The first one, the Eagles trying to stay alive in the NFC East, one game behind in the loss column, going against the, now we know, Aaron Rodgers-less. Although we don't know who's going to be the starter, which I think really impacts this pick because we got the Eagles at the Packers, and I think the Packers with Seneca are one team, but if they do go get Matt Flynn, who's familiar with the team and familiar with that offense, it might change things. So with that being the unknown case, I'm sorry, let me go with Train since I was going to take it because of the Eagles, but I want to hear Train's thoughts because of the Packers. Do you have a pick on this one with what we know right now?
Man.
Train turned into a zombie.
For some reason, I think the Packers can still beat this team. Dude, the Eagles are bad. I don't care about them putting up 49 against Oakland, man. It's all about matchups. And the Packers still have a defense that can get some things done. Clay Matthews may be back, which is
That's huge.
And, I mean, and you know, Michael Wallace, I understand what you say. He's, you know, I'm not saying that I have faith in him, but I do have faith in QBs that have a week to prepare for a team. That's different when you're just thrown into the game. And, and you know, considering Mike McCarthy and how good he's been able to coach this team, you know, whoever he gets in at quarterback will be prepared for this next game. So I'm going to have to pick the Packers, even though I want them to lose. Just realistically, I think they'll still beat the Eagles without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Train. You sold me. And I did forget that your quarterback had a week and the Seneca did not have a week, and I think that's going to make a difference. I think the Packers are home. That's going to help. They can run the ball. Clay Matthews might be back. I've said the Eagles are overrated. I don't think they're that good. And I will say this, though. What concerns me is the offense. We've all said that the Eagles potentially have a very explosive offense. And they hit up, you know, against the Cowboys and other teams, and now they found their stride. Maybe the Raiders aren't that good, but sometimes that's all it takes. So that's the one thing that concerns me is, are they going to start to get a little swag now and get on a little roll because they played such a dominant game against the Raiders? That said, Are we quit Seneca or bringing in a Matt Flynn who knows the team? I don't think you can go wrong either way. I'm with you, Trent. I'm going to go ahead with the Packers at home. K-Star.
This is surprising. So the Eagles' defense is pretty horrible. We all can acknowledge that. But I don't think they're so horrible where they can't manage a few stops against the Seneca Wallace-led Packers. Now, assuming that he's the quarterback. Look, yeah, they'll put together a formidable game plan. The only problem is I don't think that player is good enough to make the game plan work efficiently. I haven't seen maybe even one or two games. You know, Seneca Wallace played well. I mean, he's had game plans put in place for him. I mean, I know he's a different team. I know he has a lot of talent around him. Honestly, the best bet the Packers had to win the game is pound the rock with Eddie Lacy and James Starks. But I just see the Eagles pulling it off only because I feel like their offense, yes, it was against the Raiders, but, you know, they played on a tremendous level. And I feel like they're clicking offensively. I feel like they have more continuity right now than the Packers, who are more in flux, more in scramble type of mode to try to get things together and patch it up. I think it's going to be a great game, but I'm going to go with Philly in this one.
Well, who?
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I believe
it's
Stephen McCoy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next game, we're going to go right to Dr. Train on this one. Big game, big division game. Lions going to Chicago to play the Bears. And Cutler may be back as the starter. So what do you think, Train?
We're at home. We need this win. And our defense will show up. Bears.
K-Star.
Last time these teams played, the Lions absolutely demolished them. Now they came back, the Bears did, but the Lions, and I think it was before this pass game, Train, when the last time Lions and Bears played, the difference between the Lions and the Bears is up front. The Lions' defensive line matches the guard play or the Bears, and that's what caused havoc last time with Fairley and Sue, causing all kinds of issues with Jay Cutler. I believe even Fairley scored a touchdown off of Sue sack. It was pretty rough there. But each one's pretty good. I mean, they come up a bye week. They're healthy. I like what Stafford and that offense is doing. Again, I feel like the biggest strength of the Lions team in general is that defensive line and that they give the represent some really bad matchup problems for the Bears. So I'm going to Detroit.
You guys know I don't believe in the Lions. And I still don't believe in the Lions. And maybe I'm a little bitter, but I do have to play the Bears too, but we haven't played them yet. So I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm going to put my money. I might even put Charles Tillman back in my starting lineup on my other fantasy team because I'm pretty sure he's going to go head up with Megatron. And, you know, maybe homeboy will be healthy. I know he's been battling some injuries, but I believe he played the whole game last night.
Yeah.
That's huge because I don't know that he's played a full game in the last several weeks. So I think that's huge that he played the whole game. So and I was very impressed with your backup there, McNown, whatever his name is. I was very impressed with him. So I don't believe in the Lions, and I'm going to go with the Bears. Bears at home. It's almost becoming a K-Star versus Dr. Train and Commissioner Tisha. Another game that I think is your Hall of Famer is actually starting to play some football finally. Carolina Panthers at the San Francisco 49ers. Even though this is an NFC game, I'm going to start with K-Star simply because he put Cam Newton in the Hall of Fame like 2 years ago. So, so K-Star, what are your thoughts on this game?
I want to pat myself on the back for a second. A few weeks ago, we had a discussion which 0-2, or maybe the 0-3 team, please 0-2, is more likely to pull it together. And I asked the Carolina Panthers. Just the reason, the fact of the matter is they have a very, very, very good defense. The Panthers' defense forces I think they're top five in scoring defense. They're top five in total yards. They are very stout against the run, and when you combine the talents of Cam Newton, who finally is starting to play a more consistent type of game rather than turnovers in these close games, make turnovers in close games, you have a team, the Carolinas, riding high in a four-game win streak going at San Francisco. Because of this, because of the fact that Carolina can run the ball, because they are balanced, because they can score, because Cam Newton can create on his own, I do like Carolina Panthers to go in there, a candlestick and upset the Niners. The reason why, from an early point, from just as far as the game plan goes, the Niners, what they've been doing well lately is running the ball and running the zone read option with Colin Kaepernick. Well, the only problem is Luke Kuechly, that middle linebacker there in Carolina, might be the best middle linebacker in the game. He is an athletic monster. He was like a young Urlacher out there in that Rivera defense. And again, just the speed of the Carolina front seven, I think will outmatch the Niners front seven offensively, which is their strength. And I like Carolina to pull the upset out.
Okay. Train?
I like Carolina in this game simply because I feel like their defense is better. I do think they have enough offense to score on the Niners, and it will be a battle of Niners offense versus Carolina's defense, and I like Carolina's defense.
I am not a bandwagon guy. Cam's got to do a lot more than what he's done for me to start believing in him, because he's got a questionable body of work. He had a good rookie year and then disappeared. So, I've never said he won't be a great quarterback. I only said it was very early to anoint him into the Super Bowl, into the Hall of Fame. I know their defense is for real, but I think these are the kind of games that the 49ers, they're home, number one. And I just, you know, when I look at teams, as you guys know, that are, you know, the way the Panthers have played over the last few weeks, they're matching up better now than they would have at the beginning of the season, okay? They've won three or four in a row, so now they're matching up a little bit better. So what do? I look at quarterbacks. I look at head coaches. I think quarterbacks right now, I think Cam's playing better, but I still think it's about a wash, because I think you can't take away the fact that Kaepernick played in the Super Bowl last year. You can't just ignore that. So I think quarterbacks is about a wash. Cam's certainly probably playing a little bit better overall right now, but we know what Kaepernick is also capable of. We know the 49ers defense, what they're capable of, even though the Panthers defense is playing better. So then I look at the head coaches, and I got to go with the 49ers at home. I think they have a better coach, and I think they need this game because they have to keep up with the Seahawks. This is a game where they separate themselves.
I just don't think people realize that. I just don't think people have caught on. I don't think people have caught on to how good Carolina is right now, but I do think it's game of the week. I think it's going to be awesome.
I think people will be caught on, but I think the Cowboys-Saints game is going to be the game of the week. I think that's
a toss. That's a pretty good game, too.
Yeah, I think that's going to be – well, we'll talk about that. I guess we'll talk about that next. I don't want to jump ahead. So, anyway, officially I'm going with the Niners at home. So far, pretty much I have all the home teams. Broncos – at the Chargers. Is this the week are the Chargers put to bed? Because if they lose again, I think they're already hurting. If they lose again, they're done. So the Broncos bury them, or is this a division game and look out? Let's go with K-Star first. Well, we already know who K-Star is going to pick. The best team in the NFL, right?
Yeah. I'm going with Denver, the best team. Thank you. The best team in the NFL to me. You know, it's just the thing where I noticed that it's been two games, but the Denver's defense looks, and not to be surprised, but to remind everyone, much better now that Von Miller's back in the lineup. The bye week gave Champ Bailey some time to rest. He's expected to play in this football game. I just like the playmakers and the defense of the Broncos. And we already know about the Broncos offense, so we really don't need to talk about those guys. But, you know, it's going to be a good football game. It's an AFC West division matchup. It's just too much firepower off of the defense, I think, for the Chargers to handle. I like Denver in this game.
Okay. Trey?
I'm going to have to go with Denver, man. I just think, you know, the Chargers are such – they're still an up-and-down And they played much better this year than they played in the past, but I just don't think they have enough as far as matchup to beat Denver.
Yeah, I was looking for reasons to pick the Chargers. I think it's going to be a good game, division game, but let me rephrase that. I think it's going to be a good half. I think I think the first half is going to be pretty good, but I think Broncos coming off their bye week, the Chargers coming off that heartbreaking loss. Yeah, I mean, even though they're in San Diego, I think Peyton's rested. I think he was starting to get a little beat up. He's rested now, and I think he's going to come out, and he's going to be ready to play some ball. So I'm going to go with the Broncos to make it unanimous. Last but not least, in my opinion, it's going to be the game of the week. My very own Dallas Cowboys travel to New Orleans to play a 6-2 Saint team who just got upset by the Jets. And so now all of a sudden this game becomes a little bit more intriguing. And since it's the Cowboys, I'll certainly start off. On paper, the Saints are the better team. Their defense is better than the Dallas defense. Offenses are pretty close. You can argue either way. I don't know statistically who's better offensively. Drew Brees, as Train would say, is one of the horsemen, although Romo this year is playing horseman-like. He's playing at that same level. But I would say on paper the Saints are the better team without a doubt. And they're home. They're the logical pick, which is why I'm going to pick my Cowboys. And I'm going to tell you why. One, DeMarcus Ware will be back. Secondly, I think the Cowboys are learning to be who they are. The defense still to some degree is a bend but not break defense. Maybe against the Broncos they broke, gave up 51 points. But most of the games the defense is keeping them in the game. The offense really has to win the game. I think the Cowboys learned something coming down the stretch against the Vikings. That last drive, they didn't run the ball once. And I've been saying, if the run ain't working, then just throw. I don't care about balance. I want to win. I don't care how you get it. Win. I don't know what's up with DeMarco Murray. I'm at the point where I don't care anymore. He's either
four
hurt.
Carries, right?
I don't. It was a low number. They only ran the ball nine times. Nine times for 36 yards. And I don't care because when you've got Dez Bryant, when you've got Terrence Williams, when you've got Jason Witten, Cole Beasley, Dwayne Harris, and the backup tight end, his name escapes me. I mean, you've got so many weapons on offense. I don't care if you run the ball ever again. Pass 60 times a game. I don't care. I don't think it's going to be a defensive battle. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think the X factor here is people think the Saints defense is really that good because of Rob Ryan, and they have been that good. Who do you think is going to know Rob Ryan better than Jason Garrett, who coached him for the last 2 years? So we know him, and I think that's the X factor in this game. So with that said, Ware is back. Romo's playing very high level. I'm going to go for the upset. Dallas is going to go in, and we need this game because these guys are breathing down our neck. Dallas is going to go in and pull the upset in New Orleans. Book it. Hey, Star, you next.
I'm sorry, did you say it was in Dallas or New Orleans?
What's that?
Is this in Dallas or New Orleans? I couldn't hear that part.
It's in New Orleans.
Okay. That pretty much seals it for me. I know Dallas went there a few years ago, and they won. It was a impressive game. These are two different teams. Years in the present. And for me, whenever I see the Saints struggle and play bad, below par, especially against a team they should beat, and then go on home, especially on like a Sunday night or Monday night, a primetime game, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. It's like breeze under that spotlight is just.
I'm sorry. Let me add one more stat. I apologize. But just so that you have all the information. Tony Romo is 22-4 in the month of November. And that's the best record of any starting quarterback since 1966 in the NFL. 22-4 in the month of November. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right, go ahead, K-Star.
Pretty impressive. I believe it'll be 22-5. And it's not really a shot. Again, I just from what I've seen in New Orleans, like just how they play at home, like in prime time, especially after an underwhelming performance the week before, I just think that they'll have Sean Payton and the boys will be ready. Drew Brees will be at his best against the cover two defense. He knows the holes of that defense. Jimmy Graham, I think, will exploit that. I'm very excited for this game. I think it'll be an awesome game. A lot of points scored, but I'm going to go with Saints at home.
Right.
Well, you know, T.I. actually, you know, predetermined my answer to this. Now I wrote my name down by the Saints on my paper. But then I started thinking about who's coming back and who's not going to play in this game. And my pick is going to be conditional. It's going to be based on the fact that the Saints may be playing this game without Darren Sproles.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
I don't care what any other player, any offensive player you have on the Saints team. Without Darren Sproles, that offense is totally different. What he does for them, no other running back on their team can do, which makes that offense click. People don't even know he's on the field. Players don't even cover him because he's so small, but he gets it done for them. With Darren Sproles not being there, DeMarcus Ware coming back, and as far as talk about Rex Ryan, Dallas also has a history with Rob Ryan. They've seen his defense. They know how to play against defense. His defense, they practice against it. When you consider that Darren Sproles may not be in this game due to a concussion, because if you get concussed, you will miss a game. It's automatic.
Right.
You're not getting clear
right.
before the week. You're automatically going to miss.
Is Fury ruled out? I thought that like they had to like do some evaluations.
Just understand this, bro. If you get a concussion in a game and you go out that game, you are not coming back the next week. The testing time takes too long. No one comes back.
I thought it was just that game.
Concussion.
Like,
no, he didn't. He didn't return to the game. So he's definitely going to be out for this week. Because if he was playing, I would more or less go for the Saints because what he does for that offense. But because he's out, DeMarcus Ware back, Cowboys definitely need to run the ball in this game, and they need to run it well. And considering that what the Jets were able to do on the ground, looking at the Cowboys have the players to do the same thing, I am going to switch my pick, and I'm going to go with the upset, and I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I literally wrote my name down by the Saints. I'm telling you, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pick the Cowboys for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words.
And this is an example of, on paper, the Saints are the better team. But when you look at what's going on in this game, and yes, I'm loyal, so I'm going to pick my Cowboys. But I do believe they're going to win this game. And you know, and I forgot about Sproles. With the concussion, Colston was out the last game. Jimmy Graham still, you know, he played better, but he's been having foot issues.
He's not 100%.
No, he's not. And with Ware coming back, and it was so smart to sit Ware out against this and against the Vikings so that he's 100% against Drew Brees. It was a very smart decision to do so. Okay. K-Star, final thought.
Real quick, just so listeners know, even though things can be heated, I love Train In and T. You guys are my brothers on this station, on this TMV network. No one gets that twisted. Missed you guys last week, Train, with the comment earlier. I did have a great time at the Patriots game. They're pretty good. This isn't a basketball show. But I did absolutely miss you guys last week. And I was happy to be back tonight. I felt like we had a good show, but moreover, man, T, you say it a lot. This season flies. It does. Like, what is this? Like week 10?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. We only have 7 more weeks of this. We're already like we're more than halfway down the season. We're already at midway through November. Anyway, like I said, love you guys. Looking forward to this Sunday for Carolina if they can. You know what? I will absolutely be, I'm a Steelers fan first and foremost. I'll be watching the game, but I feel like now, since, you know, that made the Cam Newton Hall of Fame induction speech a couple years ago, I have to ride with Carolina to contend for the duration. So I absolutely feel and hope that Carolina will win this game on Sunday. Like I said, I'm looking forward to two great games with New Orleans and Dallas and Carolina and San Francisco. That's all I got.
Okay. Train, any final words?
Man, this has been a very spirited show. Even though we drove the topic to the ground, I still love it when we can debate like that. Looking forward to another week of football. Also, I will end with this thought. It was just brought to my attention of a thing called Movember that happens in the month of November, where men grow out their mustaches and beards also. Awareness for prostate cancer awareness.
No shave November. No shave November.
No shave November. So, yeah, I will be participating in that for this month of November. But I'm still getting a haircut. I'm just not touching the facial hair.
Yeah, I know about it. Unfortunately, I work, you know, my day job is in banking, and, image counts, so it would be difficult for me to not do that. And I need that.
Well, I understand. I'm an engineer, bro. They put us in the basement, and they just care what we crank out. They don't even need to see us.
Well, listen, first of all, thank Dr. Train, and let me echo the sentiments of K-Star. We go at it, we feud, we argue, we don't see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, we still respect each other, and these guys are my brothers in battle, and I couldn't think of two other people that I would rather have as co-hosts on the show than these two guys. I am friends with Eric Clemens. Eric Clemens is a former ESPN anchor. And I ran into him over the weekend, and I am going to get him to come on the show and join us one evening sooner than later. So be prepared. He will be joining us, and it should add another flavor to the show. And the other thing that I'll say is, although Breast Cancer Awareness Month is officially over, we still want to propose that people do the right thing and take care of themselves and be healthy. And, get your mammograms, get your physicals, get yourself checked out. And the last thing I'll say is I've had a pretty rough personal week. And I won't get into the details, but I will just say this. You know, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, someone out there needs you. Someone out there wants you to hug them and kiss them and tell them you love them. So go find whoever that person is. I don't care who it is, but go find that person. And just because you can, because Commissioner T said you can, go find that person and tell them, give them a hug, and give them a kiss, and look at them and tell them that you love them. Because they need it. There's someone in your life that needs to hear that right now. So put down your cell phones, get off your computers, let the show end. But when the show is over, when you're done listening, go find that person, and hug them and kiss them, and tell them you love them. You'll feel good about it. They'll feel good about it. That said, for K-Star, for Dr. Train, enjoy the shows. It's going to be enjoy the games this weekend. Going to be some great games coming up this next week. We will be back next Tuesday night, more than likely the same bat time, same bat channel. Everybody have a good week. And remember, as I always say, on the Madden Voice, like the NFL, ultimately all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody. I hate when I do that.
Thank you.